Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
Today's guest on Couch Time is Julie Morvant. She was born and raised in South Louisiana, one of 10 children, had a pretty good childhood until she was 10 years old when her father passed away from heart disease. Overall, she has lived a good life, memories with friends and family, but after experiencing her father's death, she had some anxiety. And then when she became a teenager, she found that running was her passion, and she has taken that into her adulthood, because she finds it therapeutic for her anxiety. By age 22, she decided to go get a master's in marriage and family therapy and counseling, married her husband, Kevin, and now has 4 sons. She decided to stay home as a full-time mom. In 2010, knowing what running did for her mental and physical health, she decided to become an injury prevention running coach and did that in honor of her father, who was a great man. So she noticed the job was very rewarding because it was for a purpose. But now that she's counseling people with anxiety and depression, she can't help but reflect on how she took her own suffering and found a purpose for it. Her counseling clients bring her great joy to help them find a purpose through the challenges of life. And she believes that nothing she goes through is ever wasted. So let's dive in with Julie. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. All right, Julie, welcome to Couch Time with me, Amy Wine. How are you today?
Thank you, Amy. I'm doing great.
I am so excited to have you on the podcast with me. And I've not known you that long, but you are one of the counselors at Amy Wine Counseling. And your passion for helping people, especially women and girls, has just warmed my heart a lot. And I thought, I have got to have her on to talk about this.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here and share my story.
Yes, I can. And everybody is going to be like, there's so much they can learn from hearing other people's stories, but I think especially yours as well. Because in one of my missions, that why I started Couch Time and why I started doing things other than just at the counseling center, is I want to help women design a life they love. I think we get so busy in the overwhelm of motherhood and working, if we're working, or even I know when I was a stay-at-home mom, like I was miserable in my busy. Like I found things to make myself busy and I just was not living a life I loved. So right. Don't take the time to do that. So I'm very passionate about it. And I lost who I was. I lost my identity. I lost all of those things. So one of the things that you talk very well about is finding your purpose through life's challenges. Do you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. So, you know, I'm a counselor now. So everyone that comes in usually has a challenge, a crisis, something that it's a roadblock, something that's really just gotten in the way of daily living. And I believe in the power of our thoughts and how we think about what's happening. And if we can change our thoughts of even when it's terrible, of how this is possibly could help me along the way, I think it's pretty amazing if they can have that breakthrough, even when it doesn't look good.
Right.
But the power of our mind and our thinking, it goes a long way.
It does. And I'm going to say I had this yesterday where I kind of had a block. And it's something I should have known how to do, but something happened when I tried to take what was in my brain to a piece of paper that I was going to have to submit to somebody. And it was only 5 questions. But in that moment, I felt stupid. Like I went totally blank. And I thought, how dumb is this? I instantly went to, and I've done a ton of personal work and being a counselor, like, I'm stupid. This is the most ridiculous thing. You're never going to get it. Why are you even bothering? Like, this went on for hours yesterday before I caught myself.
Right, right, right. And our thoughts is it can just get in the way, or it can propel us forward, right? To something better and something maybe even that we can do for other people.
Absolutely. And that's where my ultimate mission is, because this was something for my mission of helping women design a life they love. And I thought, if I can't even get past this part of this, how am I?
Right.
And who am I to even try to help? But I know that's what God wants from me. So I finally, and yes, I can love Jesus and cuss sometimes because I did finally like, F this. I'm gonna go do it. Like, quit doing all these feeling things and let's just go get it done. But it's not always that easy. For me, this was a minor thing, right?
I get it. I think every day it's the battle of our mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how have you found your life's purpose and your calling through your own challenges?
So one of the biggest challenges that I experienced was losing my dad at the age of 10. I love helping people with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. I think mainly because I suffered with anxiety after we lost my father. I had a lot of fear and anxiety. And through counseling, I've learned that just because that bad experience happened, I don't have to think that continually bad things are coming my way, right? And so it takes work to change your mindset. But slowly but surely, my anxiety got better because I realized that my thoughts were getting in the way and propelling my anxiety to be worse after his death.
Did I hear you like you almost had this expectation for a part of your life that when's the next bad thing going to happen? When's the next bad thing?
Yes. And I think when we go through trauma, sometimes our brain just, it wants to go there. And I'm not going to lie. I still work on thinking positive and thinking the best out of there. It takes work.
Absolutely. And that's why
I'm still working.
Yeah. I mean, I fell into this yesterday and I sat there and I spun and I know how to pull out. Like I know what I'm doing, but it was a few hours and a couple of tears later before I finally was like, okay, just stop already. Like this is small right now. You just have to push through, but you can't always just push through. But that negative loop that we get, we have to really almost stop that. It's almost like stop it and replace it. So how have you used what's already inside you to help you find your purpose in these challenges of life?
So personally, I used to journal. I would journal my thoughts. I could be in traffic and I have 4 children. They were small and I would keep a small notebook in my purse. And then all of a sudden, if I felt panicky, I would jot down my thoughts. Mm-hmm. What am I telling myself? And they were almost always negative towards myself. And slowly but surely, I started. And when you see it on paper, it's so different.
Yeah. It's kind of in your face then, right?
Yes. And then I saw how irrational it really was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would reframe and rewrite my story to what was real, what was true, and what is present, right? So a lot of times with anxiety, we're just reacting to something from the past.
Absolutely. And that, I'm going to put that in a tangible for you.
Yes.
It's funny. The people that are listening to those last three podcasts are going to be tired of this story because I use a little bit and all, but that's what happened yesterday. And it ended up being something from my childhood. That was a trauma of being told you're stupid, you're a dumbass, you're ignorant, like day in, day out, to the point they threw away my books because they said, I thought I was, and I quote, you think you're smarter than everybody. Like, and my books were my world then. So when I started beating myself up, like,
right,
this went way back, even though I've done a ton of work, sometimes that trauma has a way of just kind of sneaking back in and grabbing hold.
Right.
If you don't watch it, it can overtake you. Like I could, in the past, yes, I could be sitting there for weeks, maybe months. I know a couple of years where I was depressed and anxiety because I couldn't release those thoughts.
Yes. Yes. So it's your awareness that, and you know, because it's come back to you. You're like, okay, I've done this before.
Right.
It's that voice I should not listen to.
Yeah. So what would you say to women that need to do this inner work, but are so busy and so overwhelmed that they think, I'll do that later. I'll do that when my kids are out of the house. I'll do that when I get the next big job promotion. I'll do that when.
Right.
What would you
I say? Keep it simple. Like keep a little tiny small notebook in your purse. It doesn't have to take up much space. But when you start to feel like, you know, you're just in a rut, or just start paying attention to that voice. Mm. Is it a nice voice?
Is it the truth?
And rarely when it's not the nice voice, rarely is it the truth.
Right. I like how
almost never. I mean, yeah, almost, it really is never. Because God gives us a mind of love, power, and a sound mind.
Oh, wow. I love that. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Love, power, and sound mind. I love that. That made me, that hit me. I forgot my next thought. I'm like, yes, love, power, and self-thought. I love that. So you said like nothing that anybody ever goes through is wasted. What do you mean?
Nothing. But okay. So one small thing I started to do, and it's usually could be something simple. And I think everyone has like a little spark, right?
Right.
That that sometimes we need. For you, I think it's reading and writing and, you know, your creativity. I think that's your spark. So my spark is probably when I exercise. It does give me that release, you know, and I guess the increase of endorphins from running. I started running in high school. And when I would come back from my run, my mom would be like, why are you still out there running? You know, she couldn't understand it. But mentally, I felt so much better after my run.
Yeah.
And I didn't join the cross country or track. I would just went out for a run with my neighbor. And honestly, we'd go out and we would run and we would talk. So that was very therapeutic for me.
I love that. I have a course coming out called Awaken Me. It's a journey to finding you for women. And it's all about finding your identity and who you really truly are, because we change over time, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things you said earlier reminded me of that, because in the very first module, there's five or six modules, but the first one is kind of retell, like not a deep dive into our past, but we retell our top 3 to 5 stories that we tell ourselves from childhood, those ones that keep coming back. Like for me, it was the you're stupid. So like, what are we telling ourselves about those stories? And then the second module is reframing them. So what do I know is true? I know it's not true that I'm stupid. Now, I can tell you that if you ask me something about history, I'm not going to know the answer, but that doesn't make me stupid. It just means I have this area that I'm a lot better in.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, you got to reframe those old stories, but especially childhood wounds, they tend to stick with us
And they have so much power because it usually came from somebody that had power over us as a child. It doesn't make them a bad person, like right. a parent or a grandparent. It just means that they told you something that you perceived as something else, and it was a power position. So those tend to, we believe them more than other things, I think. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes. There was an experience one time as a child that actually I had, it was a relative.
Okay.
And he would speak down to my mother. He would try to get in these strong debates with her. He was just like an instigator, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. But he was an adult figure and I was a child. Mm-hmm. And so, but yes, but I think it does take time to heal from those type of experiences.
Absolutely. Because you get a message or you see something and you think something about it. And then you think right. something about it's true for you. And it just keeps going on and on.
But then later I saw him as an adult at like a family function. And it was so nice because I felt like I almost felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if you can do that to someone else or a child, it felt great because I felt like he no longer had a power over me.
Yeah. That's a key too, is releasing the power that they have.
Yes. Yes.
So I would say that for me, it was my stepfather, but he doesn't have that power over me anymore. But you know, when I knew it doesn't mean that the messages don't still come. And I like yesterday wasn't him. Yesterday was totally me, but I know where the emotion of it got heavy for me.
Yes.
Because I was perpetuating that from childhood. But he doesn't have that power over me now. But you know, the day I knew I released it, I thought it was a decade before. I thought it was when I was like, I don't care, but I this is bad. Like, I'd probably throw a party on the grave. Like, that's what I would say. Oh my gosh, uh-huh. You're really getting open on the couch today. But I would say that.
Right.
Not even thinking about how terrible that sounded or how much anger was still in it. I thought at that time I had released my childhood trauma with him because I'll just go throw a party, right? No, that is so much repressed, deep-seated anger coming out in that way. It wasn't until one day I started to say it, and it was maybe 10 years in the future, I started to say it again and I stopped myself and I go, I no longer care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to have a party. I don't even need to know what happened to him. Like, I do no longer care.
And like, that's freedom, right?
That
doesn't it feel?
Yeah, freedom. That was the day I knew that I had released it. That all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, that.
Right. And if you think about it, like, no one should have a power over anyone. Right. Like, it's just
no. And anger is an out of control emotion, right? Anger, you're actually giving your power away, but it's kind of scary because it feels powerful, right? Anger feels powerful, but really it's an out of control emotion. I don't know. I don't even know how we went down this rabbit hole, but this is why I love talking to you because it's so.
I know.
What your clients tell me about you too. I don't know if you know that, but your clients tell me like, she's so easy to talk to.
Good, good.
Yeah.
It does feel like a conversation, just like you and I are having, you know, sometimes it does get deep, but everything we go through can be used for something better.
Absolutely.
And it starts with our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And how we think about things or reframe things. And that's where I think you're really good. Like, I'd never had anybody put the word freedom in there. And I'm like, huh, it did feel like freedom. And I've never voiced that. So thank you for the therapy today on Couch Time. Oh.
Thank you.
That's been very helpful. Like, I think, you know, there's a phrase, it's every day is a new day. So what do you think about it? Like, every day you can create something new. I think.
I think we're meant to create. It could be something simple, like just finding a good recipe or it could be changing our thoughts. All of a sudden you notice like something's creeping in your mind and you're like, where am I going with this? Mm-hmm. But I think every day is an opportunity to create something new if we allow it.
If we allow it, what do you mean by that? Expand on that.
Being open.
Do you think that women that are just going through the day-to-day are open to doing that?
I think so. I think people sometimes want a spark in their life.
But I wonder what makes them go from wanting it to taking action on it.
Right.
Where do you think that is?
I think it's helping them find their gifts, right?
Okay.
Like what are their gifts? Like I've had one client say, oh, definitely music and art, you know? And then she's like, well, I'm busy. I have small children. I don't have time. And I'm like, well, maybe you can just find a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be a big project, you know?
Yeah. Small things.
Small things.
Small things. That's also been a theme of my podcast today. Small things often. Wow. I'm learning. Like, I love doing these because I don't often get, like, I never get to sit down and just talk to you.
I know.
And I'm like all day today going, I am loving talking to these women, especially you, because you're in the office. Like I see you, I never get to sit down and talk to you. We're both going at different speeds and around each other, busy with people. So I love that so much. I lost my train of thought again. Like you keep doing that to me. Yeah, I just blamed you for that. Totally not you. Totally me. Because I get to thinking other things. And it's like, huh. I love that though, because you said I want to bring that back to being busy. Like I have small children and I'm busy. And that's kind of what I was speaking to is that is often the excuse that I hear too. I'm just too busy. If you could see my schedule. And I'm like, yeah. But I can match you that schedule times probably 100. And there's probably somebody that can match mine times 1,000. And
yes,
always busy. I personally stayed busy, especially when I was a stay-at-home mom. So busy so I could avoid my junk. I could avoid my unhappiness. I could avoid my anxiety and depression. I could avoid not taken an action step to where I wanted me to be, to creating something new. Like busy was my safety net. What do you think about that?
I think that does happen. And I think I probably was the same way, especially when my kids were little, because I have four boys all 2 years apart. But now that I'm older, I feel like sometimes it's good just to give yourself a little bit of quiet space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know I'm in a different season from somebody that has little children right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my kids, like my oldest was 3 and a half when my third was born.
Wow.
So I was like back to back to back to back. And I lost a baby in there as well. So I was pregnant literally for 4 years. Now that they're all in college, in retrospect, college bills three at the same time, Okay. Back to the point. I would hide in my closet to get quiet or space. And it may only have been 3 or 4 minutes, but sometimes I'd just go in the dark in my closet and hide.
Yes.
And I could hear them out there, but right. I knew for my own sanity. And
right.
I needed some calm in the chaos. When a counselor told me, and I did go back to therapy at some point when they were maybe elementary age, they told me I needed to just sit. Until nothing was going through my brain. And I went, okay, I'll try that. Okay. My brain never shuts off. Like an art form to get it to shut off. I was staying at home. They were all at school. I took them to school. I went home. I was like, I'm going to sit outside by the waterfall and I'm going to sit here till my brain shuts off. It was time to pick them up. And all I had done that day was maybe eat a little lunch and go to the bathroom. And not one time did my brain stop.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a failure. Like, how can I not just sit here and relax? Like, how can somebody not do that?
I was just thinking, it's a practice, just like everything else.
It definitely was that. So I go back to counsel. I tried it again the next day. About 11 a.m., I'm like, forget it. I'm not even bothering with this nonsense. Like, it's not going to happen. Go back to counseling the next week. And the guy... It's like, so how did it go? And I'm like, oh, I sat there for 8 hours. And the next day I gave up after 3. And he goes, puts his hands on his head and he leans forward. He goes, oh. And I thought, I have broken the counselor. Like, I don't don't even know what just happened, but I broke the counselor. And he's like, okay, we're going to try this again. And you're going to put a timer on for 10 minutes. And every day you're going to sit there for 10 minutes. And every time your brain starts, you're going to go, stop it. Stop it. I'm like, oh, no way is this going to work. Like, I am making jokes about this. But being the overachiever that I am, I'm determined. So I go start it day one. Timer goes off. And it was literally, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop, 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 stop. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop. Day three, stop it, stop it, stop it. Day four, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then my timer went off. And I went, holy cow, I did not have a thought for like 3 minutes.
Yay!
Then I was like, that felt good. I gotta set this again for another 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then I proceeded to keep that on a 10 minute rhythm for years. Like, I could go out there, and then it got just training it. This is my time. I'm doing exactly the same. Sometimes I'm sweating. Sometimes I'm freezing. Sometimes it's raining on me. became so vital to how my day went that when I didn't do it, I noticed a difference. So it doesn't have to be long. I love what you're saying. It's just small.
Small snippets in our day, taking care of ourselves. Yeah. But I love that. I may try that. I may try to sit outside for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I've told many a counseling clients this, and I giggle almost every time, because especially with women, they look at me like I am crazy. She has lost her mind. This is not going to work for me, because I work with a lot. I just attract a lot of high achieving women.
Yeah.
Even in my business coaching now, if I am to say this to anybody that's a CEO or an entrepreneur, they are like, not
right. Yes.
I'm like, oh, yes, yes, it will. And the day it does, you're going to be like, oh. Now I am fast forward about 6 or 7 years into this. I'm outside for about an hour every morning. If it's raining, my umbrella goes up. Like, I need a covered patio. But I don't have one. So I love it. What do you love the most about counseling with the women you see?
I think it's the creativity that honestly, you're here to create a new story, and it's their story. And it's whatever story they want.
Yeah. Because we're a blank slate, right?
Yeah.
You can be. You can erase it.
You can be. Yes.
I love
and that. We're not our past experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today's a new day.
Yeah. So you get the definition of you.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I wonder how many people are listening, and I hope that they go and email me, because I want to be able to share them with you as confirmation of you doing great work. But how many people are just sitting here thinking, I didn't know I could have a new definition of me. What do you think?
I think that it's counseling is an opportunity to create a new story. I even had a client come in and her family situation changed. So I was like, well, it's you creating a new story for your family.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it starts with what we're thinking.
Starts all the way back to what we're thinking. I love it. You have been a joy on here today. And I think so many people are going to be impacted by what you said. And I'm going to put in the show notes how to find you.
If you're
in Texas. You can see you.
Yes.
But we're definitely going to have you back on other topics. And I think what I would like is people that are listening, what do you want to hear from Julie? Like, what topics do you struggle with? Where could she help you the most? And then I will get with her and we will re-record another episode or two, because
I love it. This sounds fun.
And use this calming spirit. Me, I'm over here like, I'm ready to, and you're just like, calm. You pulled stuff out of me today that I have not talked about in forever. And you didn't even try.
Amy, I love your energy. I can feel it.
Yeah, today I'm in a like, let's do a little dance. Like, we're going to calm down for these. All right. I will talk to you later. And thank you for coming on Couch Time.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. This was fun.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.